Yeah, happy Easter again. Glad that we're able to be here. The song that they were just singing, there's a line in there that they sing over and over again, the resurrected King is resurrecting me. It's been my conviction for quite a while that on Easter Sunday especially, it's a good Sunday to hear someone share their personal story of how they've encountered Jesus. And I've always thought this because I could get up as a pastor and statistically, and most people know this, this is the time of year where most people who don't go to church come to church. So it's either Christmas or Easter or both. And you, sometimes that term is called creasters. So if you're a Christmas or Easter church attender, you're a creaster, right? You go to church on Christmas and Easter. And I know that. I know that there's a lot more people that are not typically in a church setting that come on these days because it's a high holy day. These are the days where you're going to, out of respect for your mother, your grandmother, your grandfather, your spouse, you come into church. And I've always thought, like, it feels weird for me to get up and say, here's a whole bunch of facts of the death and resurrection of Jesus, and here's why you should believe. Or for me to give a really emotionally compelling sermon from the scriptures and then say, you should believe. Like, I've always thought it's so fitting to have someone share an actual story of how they've encountered Jesus. And so this morning, we're going to be hearing from a friend of mine. Her name is Kim Corsell. I moved to Thunder Bay almost 3 years ago. And I met Kim not long after I moved here. It might have been within a year or so. But I remember when I first met Kim, I could just see that she has this visible love for Jesus. And sometimes you meet people like that where you're like, man, there's just like, it's almost like there's this physical evidence in the way that they interact and the way that they talk that they have this love for Jesus. And so I started to get to know Kim a little bit. She's really involved with her church, St. Agnes. She's married to a guy named Tanner. They have a couple kids. And really great family, and I've gotten to know her, and she's been really active in the city of Thunder Bay doing Alpha ministry. And so seen a lot of people come to know Jesus through that. And I heard her testimony, I think it was couple weeks ago on Facebook, and she shared how she had come to know Jesus, and it really impacted me. And so I really want to encourage you to listen in as Kim shares her story, because I think that her story will relate with some of you who are watching this. Maybe you've grown up being exposed to church or traditional religion in some way. Maybe you know intellectually the story of Jesus. Maybe you sort of believe it or are on the fence with what you believe. I don't know. And if that's you today, I'm just hoping that you'll listen because Kim's going to share about how she encountered Christ. And again, the reason that I think this is so vital on Easter is because we are celebrating the fact that Jesus rose again. This resurrected King is resurrecting me. And so I really think it's important for us to hear personal stories of how Jesus' resurrection affects real people who are alive today in 2020 amid this COVID virus, right? What difference does the resurrection of Christ make in our lives today? So here's Kim. Listen in as she shares her story.
So I grew up here in Thunder Bay. My family had a beautiful faith, and we went to church every Sunday. We read the Bible, I enjoyed Sunday school, and we prayed together almost every night. And I had this beautiful childlike faith. I loved that I pictured God as this old man in the clouds with a long beard who just loved all of his children. And I was so grateful for this foundation that I had as a child. But as I got older, these beautiful ideas that I had and this background that I had, things started to change. I found it hard to see God in all the struggles that were happening in the world and all the heartache that was happening. And I started to wonder, maybe this wasn't as real as I thought that it was. I started to look at the Bible as maybe something that was a good moral teaching or a lesson to guide people to live a good life. But I wasn't sure if there was very much truth beyond that. So as I continued journeying for a while and I had my own ideas of what Christianity was all about, I stopped going to church, I stopped praying, and I stopped being active in my faith. And I started to look at things like, you know what, you do you and I'll do me, and this just isn't for me. To my family's dismay, I'm sure it was really hard for them to see me just pulling back completely from this beautiful faith that I had grown up with. Now, I have to be honest with you, life, it was actually pretty good. I didn't feel I needed God in my life. My friends were great, my family was good, but yeah, things were good. I didn't need God in my life, but thank goodness God got a hold of me, and he changed my path. So I went, later in my teenage years, I went on a first date. And on this date, we were walking around Boulevard Lake, and we were talking, and it ended up being this beautiful conversation. And he asked me a question, and he said, "Do you believe in God?" And I was taken aback at first, because that's a pretty intense first date question. But I stopped and I thought, well, yeah, I believe in God and the higher power. I grew up Catholic, but I don't really practice church. And when I said that to him, he said, "Catholic? You grew up Catholic?" And he started throwing all these different challenges at me and questions at me. And I was, something strange happened in that moment. I began to get really defensive. I don't know why, because I wasn't really going to church and I wasn't really active in my faith. But deep down, something in me just felt like, I better look into this. So after that conversation, I started a search for the first time in my life. I started wanting to find out the answers to these questions. Is there any evidence to support Christianity? Is there ever any evidence outside of the Bible to prove that Jesus was a real man? And the crazy part was, there was. I was finding incredible evidence about his life, death, and resurrection. I was finding stories of miracles that are happening today in our world that scientists just can't explain. And I started to think, you know what? I think there's a little more to this than I originally thought. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to give this a go. I started going back to church. I began to try praying. I decided to open the Bible and to start reading it to see what it said. And I have to be honest with you, this portion of my journey, it wasn't easy. I would pray and then fall asleep in the middle of my prayers. And I would read the Bible, but I just found it hard to understand what it was saying. And even though I knew there was something to it, my heart just wasn't in it. My brain was saying there's some evidence here, but when my heart wasn't convicted, it was a challenge. So I continued on with this blind faith for quite a while. And I had an opportunity to go on a retreat. And during this retreat, we were able to pull back and just spend some time with God and just talk to God one-on-one. And it was the most beautiful setting. It was over Lake Superior. The Sleeping Giant was in the background. And I just closed my eyes to pray. And I said, "God, you know, just take over my life." And in that moment, God came over me. It was like a flow of love, electricity, and the most incredible feeling. There's no human words to explain what happened in that moment. But I knew more than anything that God was real. And my heart was convicted. And I knew this was the most important message that you could share with this world. And I knew for the rest of my life, I would spend all of my time focused on sharing his love with other people. This changed everything. When I opened my eyes after this encounter with the living God, the world physically looked different to me. My friends noticed a difference. My family noticed a difference. My priorities changed. And as I would open the Bible, it became alive. The words that before seemed hard to understand and dry, all of a sudden were speaking to me in real ways and really impacting my life. My prayer life became alive as well, and it was the most incredible thing. Now, before, I thought God was real, and there was evidence for this. But God gave me an incredible new life through this encounter. He showed me that similar to this Easter weekend with his resurrection, I was alive before, but now I have a new life. He has risen me from the dead, God. I'm just so grateful for this life-changing moment. Now, this just began the journey for me. Since that first God encounter, I have seen God working and alive in this world more than ever. When I see struggles and things that are happening, before I would have thought, oh, I don't think God's here. But instead now, I'm able to clearly see him working through these struggles. I'm able to see God doing miracles in our world today here in Thunder Bay. And it's no longer this blind faith. I have to be honest with you, the struggles still come. But there's a difference in how you handle them. I have a joy and a peace knowing that God is so much bigger than any of these giants that I face. In our world today, especially with the things that are going around and all the uncertainty, when I start to get overwhelmed by the outside world, all I have to do is stop and think back to that one God encounter where everything changed, where he changed my life. And I just know that everything is going to be okay. Now, I don't know where you are on your faith journey. Maybe this is all new to you, and you're not sure about the whole concept of Christianity. But one of my favorite quotes is from C.S. Lewis, and it says, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance. If true, it is of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important." So I challenge you during this new season to find out the truth, to start that search. It was the best thing that ever happened to me, was actually stepping aside from my own thoughts and looking for evidence for if this is true or false. Now, maybe some of you are at the stage where it's still that head knowledge. You think there's some evidence, but your heart's not convicted. And if that's where you are, I challenge you to just stop, to take some time in silence and just pray to God and say, "God, just take over my life." And the beauty is he's a gentleman. He's never going to force himself onto you. And if you knock on that door, it's a promise. It will be opened. So I challenge you to do that. Now, maybe you've been on this faith journey for quite a while, and you know how beautiful God is and how he's been working in your life, and you're seeing just him changing this world. If that's where you are, my challenge for you is to share it. The world now, more than ever, needs to hear his message and to know that he is alive and well. So go out and tell people about your story. Tell people about how you've encountered God in your life. For so much of my life, up until very recent months, much of my family and friends didn't know how God has just transformed me. They didn't know the intimate details of my story. And now the world needs to hear this. So go tell your friend. Go call, make a phone call. Go share a post on Facebook. Tell people that God is alive and well in this world. Now, I want to be clear about something. This story is not about me, and it's all about him. I'm nothing special. God just showed up in my life and changed everything. And he wants that for you. He wants even greater things for you. So I thank God every day for that first date that he sent me on, which prompted this search. And I also thank him because I ended up marrying the guy. So I'm so grateful how he started this journey for me. And I know he wants the same thing for you. Just as we're celebrating this Easter weekend, God wants to raise us from the dead. He wants to give us new life. And are you willing to say yes?
What a testimony. I just want to thank Kim for being willing to share her story. And as she said, even for her, a lot of her family hasn't known of her personal story and journey until recently. But as you can see, watching that video of her sharing her story, like, she's had this real encounter with Jesus. And the reason that I'm in ministry today, the reason that I said yes when God called and asked me to be a pastor, is because my desire is that I'll see more people encounter Christ. Whenever I hear a testimony like hers, I always think the same thing. How many people are listening that are where she once was? And so we can celebrate Kim's story and celebrate the fact that she encountered God in a really life-changing way. But I'm always thinking, what about those that are listening that haven't yet encountered God, haven't yet opened their hearts to him? And it's my desire to see as many people as possible come to know Jesus. I really believe Jesus is who he says he is. That the scriptures that talk about Jesus' miracles, his life, his death, his resurrection, that it's all true. I believe that with all my heart. But I know that there's probably some listening even now that don't believe that, or maybe don't know whether you believe that. And maybe you can relate with Kim's story, where you've heard that story your whole life, or you're familiar with it, and you're just not sure where you stand or what you believe, or if it has any relevance on your life. And, you know, one of my, I don't know if fear is the right word, but one of my fears as a pastor is that we'll get together on an Easter Sunday morning, we'll celebrate the resurrection of Christ, we'll talk about it, and then most people that are listening are going, well, what difference does that make for me? Like, how does that actually make any difference in my life? And the reason I say that that's a fear of mine, or something that I just hate the thought of, is because I know that God desires to have a relationship with people. And so if you hear an Easter morning message, if you read the scriptures and listen to the story of Christ and you leave unchanged, you've missed something. And I just want to encourage you. Kim said that a part of her journey was to go and look into the evidence to see whether or not it made sense that Jesus was a real person who lived, who died, and actually rose again from the dead. I'm not going to spend a lot of time this morning on evidence. There are a ton of books and resources and movies out there that will show you all kinds of evidence for believing in Jesus. And the reason that this is important, the reason sometimes Christians dedicate their whole lives to showing evidence for Jesus, is because if Jesus' resurrection didn't happen, our faith is meaningless. Like, you can take this whole Bible. If the resurrection of Jesus didn't happen, you may as well throw this out or just put it on a shelf somewhere and look back on it as, like, you know, history that may or may not be true. If the resurrection of Christ didn't happen, and Paul says this in the book of Corinthians in the New Testament. He says, if the resurrection didn't happen, our faith is meaningless. And so the faith of Christians, it's actually based on a real historical event. It's not just based on an emotion or a feeling or, you know, this makes me feel better, or this, you know, makes my life a little bit more acceptable or desirable. Like, it's not based on that. The faith of a Christian, of a follower of Jesus, is actually based on an event in history. And that event is the resurrection of Christ. And so if you're listening this morning, and maybe there's like parts of the Old Testament, maybe you've heard stories in the Old Testament, and you're like, well, I don't really know if I believe the story of Noah's Ark. Or I don't really know if I believe that the Israelites crossed the Red Sea and that God split the sea and they walked right through it. Maybe you're wrestling with whether you believe some of those stories. I'm not even going to try to convince you to believe those stories this morning. But what I would encourage you to focus on is, did the resurrection happen? Like, the biggest question to answer, if you're on the fence about what you believe about Christianity, the biggest question you can answer is, did the resurrection happen? Is Jesus who he says that he is? That is the central belief of Christianity. And that's an event. That's an actual historical event. So I'm just going to point you to a couple resources if you want to look into that. This morning, I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on the evidence side of things, because there is a ton of evidence out there. There's a guy named J. Warner Wallace, and there should be a picture of him on your screen. For 30-some years, he was a homicide detective. He was an atheist, somebody that said he did not believe in Jesus or the resurrection, the Bible. And after 30 years or so of being a really successful homicide detective, he'd solved a whole bunch of cold cases and cases that nobody thought could be solved. He had heard so much about Christianity that he said, well, I'm going to investigate it for myself. And so he did this massive investigation, and he used his skills as a cold case homicide detective to inspect as to whether or not the resurrection actually happened. And as he did the research, he concluded that the resurrection did in fact happen. And now he spends his life telling others about Jesus. He went from being an atheist, somebody who didn't believe, to saying, I am convinced that this happened. And so you can look into that. He wrote a book called Cold Case Christianity or something like that. If you look up his name, you'll find it, but really interesting. And there's another one as well. There's a book called The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel that also just became a movie a couple years ago. It was on Netflix recently. I'm not sure if it's still on there, but if you look up The Case for Christ, you can rent it online somewhere. And we all have all kinds of time right now to be home watching movies. And so The Case for Christ, the book is great, but most people would rather just watch a movie. And the movie actually chronicles this guy's journey from being an atheist reporter who investigated Christianity and then came to believe that it was actually true. And so there's tons of evidence out there that shows that Jesus Christ was a real human being who lived, who died, and was risen again. And so I just want to encourage you, like, look into that. But what I want to focus on today is that I don't think the evidence is enough to change your life if you don't have an encounter with Christ. And I really appreciated Kim's testimony, because when she was challenged by her first date boyfriend, Tanner, who later became her husband, she started looking into the evidence. She started going, do I actually believe that this Jesus Christ lived and died and rose again? And so she looked into the evidence. And then she said in her story, and if you remember, she said she found out that there was actually all kinds of evidence. She realized it wasn't intellectually foolish to believe in Jesus. There's all kinds of brilliant people who've done a ton of research who say there's tons of evidence to put your faith in. And so she started to say, yeah, there is tons of evidence. But for her, it didn't matter yet. It didn't drop from her head to her heart. And to actually have a relationship with Jesus, to know him, you have to have this crisis point in your life where things go from just like head knowledge and intellectual assent to an encounter with God. And I can't make that happen. There's no preacher on earth. There's no person that can make you have an encounter with Jesus. The Bible, if you read through the scriptures, Jesus says over and over, you can't actually come to God unless he draws you. Like this encounter we have with God is something that God opens up, that he allows. And if you're feeling a tug in your heart at all, if you're listening this morning when maybe you normally would not tune into church, maybe you wouldn't even give this a second thought, I believe God is speaking to you. And maybe you're sitting beside somebody that you don't want them to know that you're starting to think this way, and they're nudging you and looking at you and you feel funny, but I don't know. But if you're feeling a tug at all, I just want to tell you, like, that is God. He desires to know you. You might think that sounds crazy. That might sound ridiculous to you, but it's true. God desires to have a relationship with you. And like Kim shared so well in her story, she went from just believing something cognitively to having this encounter with God. And my desire for you this morning is that you would have an encounter with God. And so I want to ask you a question. Do you long for your life to matter? Like, in your heart of hearts, when you're laying in bed at night and you're having a hard time falling asleep, when it's dark and no one's around, and you're thinking about life, and you're thinking about challenges and struggles, like, do you long for your life to matter? Like, do you long for your life to have some sort of a purpose, to make some sort of a difference in this world? Today, I'm just going to read two small sections of scripture, and I'm not going to be long. We're going to close with a couple songs, and I'm going to invite you to pray, whether you're already a believer and you're celebrating the resurrection, or if maybe this is kind of new to you. I'm going to invite you to pray and just open your heart to God. But I'm just going to read a couple different passages of scripture and just highlight what Jesus is saying, because it's really, really powerful. And so if we're thinking about this question, do you long for your life to matter? If you long for your life to matter, if you long for your life to mean something, that desire did not originate in you. Like, we were created by God, and we were created by God for a purpose. And so if you have some sort of a longing to do something that makes a difference or to mean something or for your life to matter, that's one of the ways God speaks to us. That's one of the ways that he draws us in. And in John chapter 7, verses 16 and 17, Jesus says these words. They're so profound. He says, So Jesus told them, "My message is not my own. It comes from God who sent me." Well, listen to this next part. "Anyone who wants to do the will of God will know whether my teaching is from God or is merely my own." You catch that? Anyone who wants to do the will of God will know whether my teaching is from God or merely my own. Listen, don't take my word for it this morning. Okay, if you desire for your life to matter, if you desire to do something of value, if that's a true desire, if it's not like a self-focused, selfish desire, if you truly desire to make some sort of difference or for your life to matter, look at the words of Jesus. Jesus says it here. He says, if anyone desires to do the will of God, they'll know whether my teaching is from God. And here's what I want to say to you this morning. If you take a serious look at the teachings and the words of Jesus, you will know whether those are from God or they're just some man. You'll know whether they're just made up or whether they're God. And Jesus is putting this challenge out there. Like, look into my teachings. For me, one of the most convincing things about Christianity, one of the most convincing things about Jesus are his teachings. As I've read, and I went through a season of my life where I was wrestling through, do I actually believe this stuff? Or do I just believe it because I was brought up that way? Is this something that I want to give my life to? Or is it just, you know, something that was a part of my history and I'm just going to move away from it? Like, as I started to read the scriptures, I felt like the scriptures were reading me. And what I mean by that is most books that I read those books and then I assemble the information somehow in my brain, or I can either choose to apply it to my life or not. The difference with the scriptures, specifically the teachings of Jesus, is as I read them, I felt like Jesus was reading me. Like, I was being read, like I was being spoken to, like I was being challenged. And as I encountered Jesus' words, it was like he's speaking to me. And I started to realize, like, these are not just words that somebody made up. You know, somebody didn't dream up Christianity one day and say, I figured out a way I'm going to control the world and make this new religion. Like, as I read it, I was like, no, these are the words of God. And I felt like I was the one being read. My grandfather, who spent 33 years in prison, I was listening to him share his story one time. And he, after many years in prison and all kinds of crimes, he had come to this crisis point in his life where he accepted Christ. And in his testimony, he was describing the feeling he'd get when he'd read scripture. And he said, you know, I'd done drugs my whole life and got myself messed up on drinking and all this stuff. But as I read scripture, I felt like these rushes coming into my body. I just felt like this energy, and he couldn't explain it. He used the word rushes. He said, and he compared it to the feeling he had doing drugs. He said it was so much more intense, but he was connecting with God. And so I just want to challenge you today to dig into the teachings of Jesus and the words of scripture. I want to point to one more thing before I move on to the next passage I want to highlight. There's a show that just came out called The Chosen, and there should be a little picture of it on your screen. And you can look up this show. There's a free download, so if you're downloading this on an iPad or on a phone, you can get the free download. If you're on a computer, you can actually watch it on YouTube, or you can make a donation to them, and they'll send you all of the episodes for free. There's ways to get this show. And I've been binge watching this show for the last week and a half, and it has impacted me deeply, because in this show, the way Jesus interacts with people, they actually take the conversations Jesus has with real people and they put them on a screen, and it's really well done. Their IMDb rating or whatever, super high. It's a really, really well done show. But the way that they portray Jesus' conversations with people, it's rocked me. Like, the whole time I'm watching, I've got tears in my eyes, because I see people that have the same questions as I do. They come to Jesus and they see the fulfillment and the longings of their heart being fulfilled. And I just want to, like, just look into Jesus. Whether you read it in the scriptures, whether you watch something like The Chosen, and do so with an open heart. Because Jesus says, if you long to do the will of God, if you want for your life to have some sort of meaning or purpose, you'll recognize whether his words are true. The reason we celebrate the resurrection of Christ 2,000 years later is because it's made an impact and a difference on our lives right here and right now. The second thing I want to highlight, and this is a really cool, before I read the passage, that's a few verses in John chapter 6. Do you know that the lack of an ability to see flabbergasted Jesus? Like Jesus was flabbergasted. And I use that word on purpose because it's not a word that we use very often. Flabbergasted means to be overcome with surprise and bewilderment, or to be astounded. So we're talking, okay? So the first thing I was talking about, do you want your life to have purpose? Do you want it to have meaning? Look into the words of Christ, okay? You'll recognize whether they're from God or just made up, okay? Now the thing, and I just want to highlight this before we jump back into worship and I give you an opportunity to prayer. I want to talk about what was it that flabbergasted Jesus? What was it that astounded Jesus, where he was like, and not astounded or flabbergasted in a good way. It was more like he shook his head like, are you serious? There was a lot of things that, if you read the stories of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's a lot of things that amazed him in a good way, where he said, wow, you've got such great faith, and he responded positively. But I want to look at something that flabbergasted him, where he just kind of shook his head and he was like, are you serious? And I think it's something that we are all guilty of. In John chapter 6, verses 26 through 29, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understand the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of approval. And they replied, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? And Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one that he has sent. And so I want to tell you why Jesus was flabbergasted. So Jesus is saying this to a crowd of people. He's just performed this amazing miracle. He's just fed 5,000 people from a small lunch. And so maybe you're listening to that and you're like, "Here, that's why I have a hard time believing that any of this is true. Like, nobody can do those kinds of things. I've never seen that happen in my life." Maybe that's you. I want to say Jesus really did do the things that are chronicled about him in the Gospels. And so he's just done this amazing miracle. He fed 5,000 people from a really small lunch, and it's amazing, and people were coming. And the people that were pursuing him, they weren't pursuing him because of the sign. They were pursuing him because their belly had been filled. And Jesus is flabbergasted. You've got this mass of people who've just witnessed this amazing miracle, and they're like, you know, a couple days later, they're like, come on, we want to see you do that again. We want to see that same thing happen again. And Jesus is flabbergasted. And he says here, and if you read carefully what he's saying, he says, you're coming not because you understood the miraculous signs. He's saying, like, you don't even understand the signs that I do. All of the miracles that Jesus did, feeding 5,000 people, walking on water, opening blind eyes, opening deaf ears, rising from the dead, all of these signs that he did those to point us to the fact that he was God in the flesh. He did those signs to point us to the fact that if we actually believe his words and enter into a relationship with him, we can have eternal life. That the resurrected king is resurrecting me. Just like the band was singing earlier, that the resurrected king resurrects you and I. The signs were for the purpose of pointing us to the fact that he spoke the truth. That you and I can trust in him. That we can actually go to a funeral and be sad. We can grieve with hope because we know that the resurrected king resurrects us. That we can have a confidence to know that death is not the end. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're somebody who doesn't believe in God or you claim to be an atheist or an agnostic, death is a scary thing to think about. And maybe you've never confessed that it's a scary thing. Maybe for you it's just like, well, it just is something that happens and there's nothing beyond it. But it's a terrible thing when you think about those you love and the potential of never seeing them again. And it grieves God. Do you know that death actually grieves God? And the reason Jesus came was to say, I want to show you that resurrection is possible. Not just for himself, but for us. Jesus was the first one to rise from the dead, and all who hope in him can rise again. Now, the reason Jesus was flabbergasted is because the crowds of people, they witnessed the miracles of Jesus. They saw him feed 5,000 people from nothing. They saw him open blind eyes. They saw him do all these amazing things. And all they wanted to do was see these miracles. And Jesus is saying, but you're not putting your hope in me for eternal life. I want you to imagine for a second somebody who's homeless and hasn't eaten for 5 days and how hungry that person would be, right? So you haven't eaten, it's been 5 long days and you're starting to shake. You know, maybe you haven't had a drink in a couple days, your tongue is sticking to the roof of your mouth, and you encounter somebody who says, I have two options for you, okay? And in Thunder Bay, there's a restaurant called The Keg, and it's a pretty popular chain. It's a super expensive restaurant, really good food, but super expensive. And I want you to imagine, you're that homeless person, you have no place to live, you haven't eaten in 5 days, you haven't had a drink of water in a couple days, and your body's starting to shake, and you're starting to wonder if you're going to survive. You meet this person that gives you this alternative. You have one of two choices. They say, listen, you can walk into The Keg right now, and you can have an all-expense-paid night. You can eat whatever you want. You can eat until you're full. You can bring all your friends if you want to. You can have as much to drink. You can eat till your heart is full, till you can't even move anymore. Or I'll give you the keys to the restaurant and the staff and the resources to run it for the rest of your life, and you can choose one of those two options. The people that Jesus was flabbergasted at were choosing the first option. They were like, give me the meal, right? I mean, anybody thinking with a reasonable brain at this point would go, obviously, I would choose the second option. I would take the keys to the restaurant. I would run it, which means I get all of the food that I want, plus I'm getting all of the income, and I'll survive for the rest of my life. I can run it. And what Jesus was saying to these people was, he was like, you're seeing my miracles, and all you want is to see another miracle. All you want is to be fed for one more meal. But I've got the hope of eternal life that I'm offering you, and you're not taking it. And so I challenge you today, maybe you're on the fence about what you believe about Jesus. Maybe you're not sure. But if Jesus, if what he says is true, and if what he did really happened, it changes everything. It absolutely changes everything for your life right now in 2020. And what I want to encourage you to do is to actually take the words of Christ seriously, to look into it and say, God, is this true? Did you do this for me? Jesus says in what we just read, and this verse will be up on the screen, he says, spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. And I want to challenge you today, spend your energy seeking the eternal life that comes from Jesus. You know, Kim shared her testimony and said that her life has never been the same since that encounter with Christ. That's my personal testimony. If you were to talk to one of the people that were up singing today, that's their personal story. When you encounter Jesus, it changes your life. It gives you hope for eternity. In the middle of this COVID-19 virus, yeah, it's a little bit fearful. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I don't know when we're going to be able to go back to normal, but I'm not horrified. I'm not terrified of the outcome because I know that my eternity is settled. I know that because Jesus really did rise from the dead and that I've put my faith in him, that I'm safe with him. And it's my desire that all that are watching this right now would have that same hope, that you would have hope that you are going to be with him for all eternity. Jesus says, spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man may give you. You think about our example. Like, don't just reap the benefits of being around people that love Jesus or going to church or even just in this world. Like, God created everything that we see, that we experience. The meal that you eat was provided for by God. The fact that you have a place to live was provided for by God. And you can just kind of revel in that, but it's momentary, it's brief. It would be like saying, well, yeah, I'll take the meal at the keg, instead of saying, I'll take the keys to the place and I'll run it for the rest of my life and be provided for. Jesus is saying, spend your energy seeking his eternal life. And so I'm going to invite the band to come back up, and we're just going to sing a couple songs to close. And my prayer, and honestly, maybe you're tuning in and you're not a part of Transformation Church. Maybe you're a part of some other church in the city or some other church in another place in Canada or wherever you're tuning in from. What I want to encourage you to do is to listen to how God may be speaking to you. Maybe you're not somebody who's made a decision to put your faith in Jesus. In what we read in John chapter 6, the people say, God, we want to do the works that you do. And Jesus simply says to them, just believe. Believe in the one that he sent. And the first step to take in securing your eternity and being with Jesus forever is to just believe him. And that first step actually changes everything. And so if you've never received Christ, I want to encourage you today, just open your heart, say, Jesus, and maybe it's a simple prayer, Jesus, I don't even know what I believe, but if you're real, reveal yourself to me. It's as simple as that. Pray, open your heart to him, and start to listen to what he says. And so I want to encourage you to do that. If you're somebody today who is a follower of Christ, I want to encourage you to continue listening to God's voice. He wants to use you and I to be his light bearers in this world, to give other people hope, that there is hope for eternity, that there is hope for even right now in the situation that we're in. His resurrection changes everything. The resurrected king is resurrecting me. The fact that Jesus rose again means that there's hope right now for the rest of this life we have here on earth and hope for eternity. I'm going to pray, and then we'll sing these last couple songs. And as we sing, just listen for how the Lord might be speaking. But maybe for the first time, just open your heart to him and say, God, if this is you tugging at my heart, I don't want to miss it. My heart is open. My ears are open. And pray and reach out. I would encourage you, whether this is your church or this is where you're connected to, reach out to somebody and let someone know that you're calling out to Christ, and we'd love to pray with you. God, I just want to thank you for today. I want to thank you for the team that's able to be here in this building right now, that we're able to do this service. And specifically, Lord, I just want to pray for anybody who's listening right now as we look into your scriptures. Jesus, your love for us is more than we understand. It's more than we comprehend. And God, there's been people that have encountered you in life-changing ways, in powerful ways. But Lord, I think there's probably some people listening right now that haven't encountered you. And maybe they're listening going, I want that. I've never had that. God, I pray that you would speak into people's hearts and minds even now. And God, I just want to say, Lord, thank you for what you've done. Jesus, our faith is based on the fact that you rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, and it gives us hope right now. And we just want to thank you. We want to continue to lift up your name. And I just pray for your blessing to be upon Thunder Bay and Canada as we're in the midst of this virus and we're locked up. God, I just pray for protection over everybody listening now, and that you would fill our hearts with hope. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.